Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Welcome to Sell or Die, the podcast on how to make more sales, make more money, and have more fun. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute, and this is Sell or Die.
We're joined today in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're live right now on Facebook. Is that correct?
That's correct.
We're live on Facebook up there, and we're live on Instagram down here.
I don't even need the applause button because we've got a crowd here to applaud for.
Woo!
Just like that. This is a great crowd.
Yeah, great crowd. Great crowd. Rodney Dangerfield. Great crowd. Great crowd. So, Matt, what is your... This is Matt Millward. He is the king of sales over at the Charlotte Knights.
Applause.
And humble. And the ding, by the way, you only get dings if you deserve them.
That's right. We love the
ding. We have a dinger, and if you come up here and you deserve a ding, you get one. If you don't, you don't get shit.
And...
Matt, what is your question?
Yeah, so it's very detailed, but I want your philosophy.
Okay, cool.
Is the customer always right?
Ooh.
So how many of you think the customer is almost never right? That would be me, right?
Jeffrey, but had coffee this morning out of a mug that says the customer is always wrong.
But they're the customer. So you deal with them, regardless of the circumstance, you deal with them until they smile. You deal with them until they're happy. You deal with them, and remember, it never costs as much to fix the problem as it does to not fix the problem. You deal with them with a modicum of respect, even though they're flying assholes. Correct? How many of you have ever had a flamer as a customer? Everybody has. Let's look at the... Okay, but you have to deal with them in the right way.
And whether they're right or wrong doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, they're going to call someone and tell someone how pissed off they were or how you fixed their problem. And what would you rather tell them?
Listen, you're in Charlotte. They leave the ball game. They come to the ball game. Something goes wrong in the ball game. They're going to say one of five things. Something great, something good, nothing, something bad, or something real bad. And you choose. Totally up to you. I would rather have them say something good or something great, and which means I gotta respond to them in a nice way. And it happens in our office. Two or three times a year, we'll get an email from somebody saying I'm an asshole. They finally figured it out.
I love giving those guys a call.
But, or I did something wrong, or I didn't do this, or I didn't respond to this. What do I do?
You call them.
Right, I call them up on the phone. They're like, I found them out or something. And sometimes we go through pain. I go through Alex. He's our phone finder. And Alex will find the person's cell phone. And I call them on the phone. They're in shock. And you know what? Every single person, to a person, has become a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. And your job is to speak to them in their language. Whatever they do, however they're doing, I want to make sure that I'm communicating with them. I'm going to give you an example. These guys are from U.S. Foods, correct? They're like they sell you stuff. Tomatoes, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Oh, you sell him. Yeah, you do.
We sell you back.
That's right.
Now, here's the deal. Do you think this guy who works at the restaurant wants to buy lettuce or sell salad? Who thinks buy lettuce? Who thinks sell salad? So what are these jackasses selling me lettuce for? We have lettuce on special. It's $11 a case. I don't care. I want to sell more salads for
$7.95. We're helping them do their job.
Bingo.
There you go.
So I'm challenging you with this. Think about what the customer wants, not what you sell or what you want. And if you do that, you can recover from virtually anything. Because sometimes it's just some ice cream. I want some Dippin' Dots. Love Dippin'. Do you sell Dippin' Dots? Seriously? What do you mean? They're like amazing. How do they do that? How many of you all have had Dippin' Dots? They're amazing things. How do they do them? Where do they make them? The Dippin' Dot factory.
It's the ice cream of the future.
It's the ice cream of the future, yeah.
But it's now.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Bob, do you want to be our next guest on Sell or Die?
Yeah, Bob's going to be our next
guest. All right, cool.
All right, Matthew.
Hey, Matt, thank you very much.
Unaccustomed as you are to public view, this is the great Bob Salvin. He is the CEO of Salvin Dental.
When you get here late, you get called onto the stage first thing.
Well, he moved to Charlotte recently, about 60-some years ago. And he speaks with, he's the only Jew with a Southern accent.
Let me apologize to all of you, because normally show up on time is absolutely paramount, but today, mission critical, finish what you start, trumped it.
Ooh.
Not to use that word, but it did.
Yeah.
It's like a bad word now.
Yeah, you keep the microphone up there. There you go.
What are we doing?
Okay, so Bob, you are a live guest on our podcast.
We are
airing this to Facebook Live and Instagram Live.
Okay.
And we would like to know if you have any sales questions or even sales stories that you would like to tell us.
Or a sales issue with some of your salespeople that aren't performing.
Okay.
That's easy.
We put you on the spot or anything.
No. How many of you have salespeople that suck? Raise your hand. Why don't you fire them? Well, you know, I want to give them every chance. Don't fire them.
But first send them tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So.
He probably won't watch this because it doesn't pertain. I've got 35 salespeople. They're great. Some are young. Some are older. We have great training. We call on surgeons and periodontists who are placing dental implants in their practice. So a good way to think about that would be to call on plastic surgeons versus pediatricians who just give shots and their offices smell like alcohol. So so we have a guy, great guy. I've known him 20, 30 years. He was the sales manager for a company that I bought. And we brought him in and made him a salesman. And he was doing great. He wanted to be in management. And we gave him some reps to manage. And it didn't work out as well as we wanted to. Plus, he's in a territory that is the highest potential in the company. So the young people he was managing were rookies. We put them back with their managers. They're killing it. They're doing great. They just needed more guidance than he could do. And maybe the player coach role wasn't a good fit for anybody. It's hard to do. But now he's in a metropolitan area where price is important, and he's having a hard time selling because the price is not right. However, in other metropolitan areas on commodity things, we adjust our prices where people are buying other stuff. The other side of it is that I have new proprietary products that no one else has. You know, in your lifetime, you get a few windows where you can do that, and he's not selling many of those. So I'm at a quandary. Yeah.
But you've known him for 30 years.
And calculate how old he is.
50.
A little older than that. But,
yeah.
But, you know, so, but I don't
want to. I was doing 20 plus 30.
Yeah. So I don't.
Well, I came up with it. It's how I calculated it.
Really?
Is this, I've got something in my eye here. So I want to give him an opportunity, and we're trying to give him guidance. And I think that he has the ability to do it if he decides that that's what he wants to do. So give me a sense of guidance. At the end of the day, if the results are not there, then they're not there. But I feel like I owe him the guidance to do for me what he's done before. He just is not doing it in his role now. Maybe he's miffed because he's not managing people, but what kind of guidance can I give him that's not a, we're putting you on a plan, which means you're going to be gone in a month.
All right. Yeah. Put him in, take away all of his commodity items and only let him sell your exclusive items and be your exclusive guy for his exclusive items. And that way, he has to go in because he's reluctant to sell those items, mm-hmm. obviously. So you take away all of his ordinary things and say, Ralph, today you're our exclusive salesperson for our exclusive items, and that's all you can sell. If you want to sell something else, you have to give it to Mary or give it to Billy. And that way he walks in and he has to go in depth, he has to become more familiar, and he starts with the people that are currently buying. Mm-hmm. And he begins to get referrals from that. Yeah. I think that's your way.
I can't do it the way, I can do what you want to do, mm-hmm. I have to do it a different way than the way you suggest it, which is typically what happens when I talk to you, but we can change comp plan and do that.
Sure.
The big thing is, and maybe you can talk about call reluctance, we can't get him to call on people that he doesn't already have a relationship with.
I think we should take a vote here. Does everyone who thinks Bob should keep this guy, please applaud? Everyone who thinks Bob should move on, please applaud. The audience has spoken.
They have. And I'm a fair guy. I'm going to take Jeffrey's idea. Not that I don't like you, Jeffrey. I'm not wiping
okay.
my eye with
it's
my
okay.
finger near you. But I'm going to take Jeffrey's idea and focus on sales in the new items to new people. And the other part is to identify what's in your pipeline mm-hmm. and have him produce the pipeline and then hold mm-hmm. him accountable to the pipeline.
Cool.
And we know enough people in his area where we can fill his pipeline in. And if not Jeffrey, I'm going to have him call.
Call me.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Well,
cool.
Bob is a very nice guy. Do you
want
to come
on
the show?
No.
Good. So how many of you have companies where your companies have an abundance of new and proprietary products to sell? How many your companies perhaps are not introducing as many new and proprietary products as you would like? Because all salespeople want new stuff to sell. And in this case, you know, our stuff has to go through the FDA, and a bunch of it all got approved at one time. And some of it, I'm way ahead of the market. Nobody else has it, and it's getting great reviews everywhere but his territory. So that's the challenge here, where the call reluctance, hey, you've got great stuff to sell. You can walk in the door with something that solves a problem that other products don't solve. And that's where we're struggling. I'm going to take insurance guy's thing. And
Jeremy.
You missed my commercial before. It was on
there. Jeremy Fulkerson, State Farm Insurance.
He's like an insurance guy, only a little better.
All right, so you're
he's a sponsor.
You're the so you have
don't bust his balls too bad.
Right, so you teach other State Farm guys how to build their practices. Is that correct?
He does.
And you get 1,000 new customers every month, is that true?
That's a little high.
Okay.
200, though. Sure.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey told me 1,000, so you probably lied to him. Yeah. So, and that's good, because your guys need the help from somebody with a template that's already lapped, that's already on the other side of the, you know, you've already gone down the river, you know where the falls are and where the rapids are and stuff. So anyway, so thanks for asking that question.
All right, Bob, thank you.
All right, Bobby.
There's another question.
No,
here's the point.
What's his passion for the product?
I think, quite honestly, it's the passion for having done the same thing for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people work, and all of a sudden, they've been doing the same thing for a long time, but new things happen, and they don't want to adapt to new. They're wondering why their income is not increasing, because they've been doing the old for so long. And I think that's the thing.
I think his age is more of a barrier than his enthusiasm.
Yeah, because I'm young. I'm young.
It could be both.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't be an ageist.
Yeah. Ageist?
All right, you guys, let's hear it for Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for giving me a response.
No problem.
This is a new sound on the show. That means we have a question from the internet.
Ooh!
This is a question from reddit.com/r/sales, a great sales community. This username is More Adventurous, and More Adventurous is a mid-20s sales manager who has been managing a sales team of five people. They want to know, how do I motivate someone who isn't motivated by money?
Find out what they are motivated about.
Yeah.
So when I used to sell educational software, I hired former teachers because they were motivated to help students learn. And so I would figure out that a lot of them weren't motivated by money, and I would figure out, how many students were you impacting last year when you were a teacher? 25. Okay, cool. How many do you want to impact this year? If their quota meant they had to help 5,000 students, well, I made sure that they were going to be excited about motivating 5,000 students and figure out what their passion is, their why.
I say fire them.
Now you're the hard ass.
Who wants a guy who's not motivated by money?
Money isn't everything to everyone.
Hold on a second. Raise your hand if you're willing to work for no money for your company. You own the company. But there's not that many people. They want to, at the end, they want a better car, they want a better house, they want to take a vacation, they want shit. And I want a person who is at least somewhat money motivated. Not money motivated. That's a bunch of baloney.
But there are some people who have other motivations in addition to money.
And let them motivate themselves to work someplace else.
So for the Facebook Live. For the Facebook Live, that comment was that there are different generations that are motivated by different things. They might not have been able to hear that.
Got it. Funny.
All right. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, we're done.
Hey, everybody, thank you for joining our Facebook Live in person. Live. Let's give you guys a round of applause.
Boom, boom. Join us next time on Sell or Die, the number one sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're telling you to get out and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jenny.
Oh, my God. This is such exciting news. We're coming out with the start of a Sell or Die network, and it's a podcast network, like-minded people, business-oriented people, creative, compelling podcasts that are going to help you learn more and earn more.
And so if you have a podcast, or you're thinking about a podcast, or you want a podcast, we can help you. The podcast network will broadcast your podcast and others all over the world. All you have to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com, and we will get back to you in a heartbeat. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And this is the greatest sales podcast in the history of mankind. Not to make a big statement, but when you get a bell, you've done something good.
We love getting dinged.
Yeah, we get dinged all the time. But here's
producer's
the deal.
Producer's discretion.
Yeah, here's the deal. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina today. We're giving a seminar in the Mint Museum in front of a bunch of people who are very hungry for more sales information. And I've asked the audience for their questions. We're going to take their questions from a piece of paper. Where are the questions?
Doug has the questions.
Oh, you're going to read them?
I am the master of the questions.
Cool. All right. So
all right.
These are questions from you. We're not going to embarrass you by saying your name or anything, but we are going to give embarrassing answers, if that's okay.
And you guys who have never listened to our show, you can go to any podcast app, download Sell or Die, or even go on Facebook and follow me or Jeffrey, or both of us, and you'll see when we go live. We go live every Monday for Motivation Monday.
Yeah.
All right, first question is, what if the customer only wants to buy on price alone? Do I continue to call on them or walk away?
Who thinks walk away? Who thinks sell the guy and make no money? Oh, so it sounds like it's walk away by default. Here's the deal, though. You tell the customer that you have to stay in business in order to service them in a way that they're expecting. And the only way that we can do that is to have a fair price. We're not going to gouge them, but our prices are fair and our prices.
Navy agrees.
Yeah. Our prices are fair and our prices are firm. Our prices are fair and our prices are firm. Cool.
And I'd like to add to that, that if the customer only wants to buy on price alone, you should be asking yourself, what did you do to demonstrate your value? Because it may be that you didn't actually communicate your value well enough, and so then they're defaulting back to price.
Yeah. What she said.
All right, is there any way to get a one-call close, even if they say they want to think about it?
If they say they want to think about it, you say, and you're trying to make that one-call close, you window hustlers, you. Raise your hand if you have to make a one-call close. Raise your hand. Old world. Old world. Okay, but if you have to, you're sitting in the living room with somebody, and they say, we want to think about it, you have to think it over with them, because you're the expert, and as they develop questions that they want to think about, you're there to answer them. And so you can say, can you share a couple of things that you might be wanting to think about? Because most people, when they say they want to think about it, either they think my price is too high or they want to get rid of me. Which one is it for you?
Or maybe they need to talk about it with someone else.
Yeah, like their goldfish. They've already decided.
No, maybe it's like they've only pitched to you, but...
Oh, they have five other window guys coming.
No. But you're, as the customer, maybe they've only pitched to you, but they should have been pitching to me.
Aha. To the girl, you mean?
To me.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, if there's men and women in a decision-making situation, men decide nothing. Men decide nothing. Honey, how do you like this black car? I want a blue one. Okay, blue. Yeah, it's my favorite color. Done. What do you think of this sofa, honey? I don't like it. Okay, let's go someplace else.
Oh, we have another question.
We have a question from the peanut gallery.
All right, next question is, how do you get to the decision maker when they delegate the research of products or services to someone else?
Getting to the decision maker is the most, one of the most easiest things on the planet. If they've dedicated the research to somebody else, what it means is that all they're doing is fact gathering. And what you want to say, listen, I would love to give you prices and information on this, but I need to know what you want the outcome to be. In other words, what does the boss want to have happen after they take ownership? And if I can get 2 minutes with him or her to talk about the outcome, then I can give you a fair proposal that's customized.
Yeah, we've had that situation many times.
All the time.
Where the person you're saying that to has no idea what they even want the outcome to be. And so they're like, I got to get my boss. I don't know. That's a good question. So breaks
It's all
through.
About outcome. It's not about detail. No one, if the boss cared about the detail, he wouldn't have delegated it. Correct? Just throwing it at you.
All right.
Next question, please, from the peanut gallery.
Well, this one comes from a couple of peanuts, Izzy and Gabrielle. They want to know, if the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, what would you have to talk about?
Their seminar is going to be in the next room
after
this.
We would have very little. We would actually probably be complaining, and someone, every time before last February asked the question, why have the Eagles never won a Super Bowl? I don't get that question anymore. But some jackass in Boston when I was up there writes me a question, why have the Eagles only won one Super Bowl?
And if you listen to our podcast, you'll notice that Jeffrey finds a way to bring it up every single week that the Eagles won.
Where's that kid from Allentown? Yeah, dude. Billy Joel made you famous, but you were already an Eagles fan, correct?
All right, next question. How would you congratulate your biggest customer on their recent business award?
Oh, how would you congratulate them?
Yes.
Me personally, I'd make a video.
Oh, damn it. That's what I was going to say.
No. Well, you make a video.
Send them a video text message. Come on, guys. How many of you send video text messages? Like 5 of you? Oh, the 2 kids?
Whatever they're doing, dude, you better do that next. Because they're the next customer. I think what I would do Don't worry about it. You've been bugging the shit out of me way before the kid came.
Oh, man.
Here's the deal. You make them a plaque. Go to an award place and make them a plaque that emulates or personifies the award that they won and send it to them. They'll hang it up. And they'll be thinking of you every single time they look at it for $20. Maybe it's going to cost you $30. That's nothing to be a cheap bastard about, especially if they're a good customer.
Ron, do you make those? This guy makes them. Go see Ron.
Yeah, exactly. You won't make them for people in Charlotte? You don't want to ship them?
He doesn't make them. Don't see him. Yeah. Oh, you do it personally. You just don't supply them for others.
Stephanie,
got it.
Bring your baby over here. Give me that kid.
Oh, boy.
We have a little baby in the audience.
Hello, little girl.
Hi, Poo-Poo. How you doing, Poo-Poo? Okay, now. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look at the little Poo-Poo. Yeah, she has a question. Who's changing my diaper? I'm going to give you the answer. Not me. How many of you have changed diapers? Like, it's part of society, isn't it? Like, it's part of the deal. Big deal, it's a diaper. Have you changed them? Oh, cool. You haven't changed a diaper ever yet? No.
Yeah. You can, today.
Does anyone have any questions they want to ask about children and birth?
Wrong show.
Rodney Dangerfield. The best part about babies is making them.
Okay.
All right.
Do we have any comments from our Facebook viewers that you'd like to announce?
You.
Should we say hi to anybody on Facebook?
That's on Twitter.
Oh, that's not Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's up there.
Facebook, we love you. We're sorry we're not communicating with you right now.
LinkedIn's out in the hall.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to present you this next question. I want you to think about this one, and we'll nab a few more of these. This is a thinker. If you had to pick one Disney character that describes you best, which character would it be?
Goofy.
Okay, he knows.
Dude. Huh?
Okay.
Who is
it?
Was
that your question?
Squidward. Oh, yeah, I'm a Squidward guy, too, yeah. How many people like Squidward? You have to. Well, I don't watch that stupid stuff. It's not that stupid.
All right.
All right, next question. Do you immediately provide numbers when a prospect asks about price?
Do I immediately provide what?
Numbers.
Yeah. I'll give a person my price in a heartbeat, but I might start out with the technique. So I charge a lot of money to give a speech. I charge $45,000 to give a speech. Ooh. But someone will say, well, how much is it? And I'll say, well, normally it's $1 million, but because I like you, I'll give it to you for $500,000. Now, I've just created a strategy there where in their mind they're thinking million, $500,000. So when I say 45,000, it doesn't, 45,000, is it? Oops, sorry. And that high-low has been a technique that I've used for a long, long time.
Okay, if someone asks you price and you don't give them an answer and you say, I'll get to that, let me just finish my presentation, you're continuing to present and they're thinking about, but how much is this, the entire time. So my recommendation is give it to them.
Hold on, we have a mother coming to the rescue. Okay, you can go back.
Bye-bye.
Bye, buddy. I'll just wipe this spot right off of my head.
Sounds like the 90s.
That sound means that we have a question from the internet.
Woo!
Woo!
This one from reddit.com/r/sales, great sales community, lots of information there. This one comes from Ocelot473, and Ocelot wants to know...
People have the weirdest names
on
Reddit.
They really have funny names on Reddit.
What does your follow-up process look like? Do you automate it? Does automating your follow-up process make a difference?
We have emails that go out right away. We automate some of the things, but my preference is to be as personal as possible all the time.
And it depends. Like if they're submitting a web inquiry, you expect if you submit something on the web, you get an automated response right away. But there's also lots of follow-up that can't be automated because it has to have that personal touch or it's going to feel like you're dealing with a robot. No one wants to deal with a robot. call them.
Yes. Pick up the phone and call them. And that will give you the ultimate personal touch. How many of you have ever received, you had a medical procedure done, and that evening, the doctor called you on the phone? Have you ever had that happen? Raise your hand. Is that a shocker or what?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all he or she did was pick the phone up and call you and say, are you okay? And you're going, holy shit, it's a doctor. Right? Like, why are you calling me? Well, I want to find out, am I getting billed for this?
I had a vet do that for my pet.
Yeah, our Whoa. Vets do that too.
And I was
yeah.
like, hey, what about me? Why don't you check on me?
That's funny. We get leads in at 11 o'clock at night on a weekday. We get them on Saturdays, Sundays, whenever. We call them back immediately. Doesn't matter if it's 11 o'clock at night. If they're up and they're submitting a lead,
right.
we will call back. And they are shocked, like totally shocked.
Corroboration. I just said the same thing before we broke.
Oh.
So this is the challenge for you. Personalized response and speed of response mm-hmm. are co-equally valuable. If you don't get back to me, because you expect response immediately. Even if it's an automated one, you got a response. Well, thanks very much for blah, 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 blah. We're extremely insincere about this. And thank you very much, signed the management. Like, really?
Ugh.
If you sign anything to management, let me know so I can come over there and kick you in the groin. You sign it with a human being's name and a phone number so they can get back in touch with you. If you ever get anything from an airline, like we fly a lot, so we get the status thing. You get emails from people about, we're announcing this thing, and da, 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 and somebody's name, and no way of contacting them. You hit reply, it says no reply. Like, seriously, why are you telling me this? Oh, we don't really want your feedback, sir. We're just telling you because we don't really give a shit about you.
Mm-hmm.
In a business, the first thing you have to do is give a shit.
So there's one more thing. You don't need to just send a video to congratulate someone for an award. You meet with someone, you have a great meeting, send them a 20-second video message telling them how great it was to meet with them and how you want to work with them. No one does that, or not enough people.
Maybe tell them why you want to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tell them what's going to happen as a result of you working with them. What's
the
value?
Outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the value? Okay.
All right, this next question was written on the back of a napkin. All great ideas back
Wait
of the
a
napkin.
Minute. How do you know it was the back?
Was it the front?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, this is the front because this has 100%.
Now we're talking.
You're right. This is all on the front of the napkin. And this question says, how do I get a breakfast meeting with Jeffrey?
Ooh. Oh, it's very easily. It's very easily done. You can't do it.
Contact me. I might be able to hook you up.
Had this napkin had a muffin on it, that would have been a great start. All right, next question. When trying to win a sale, example, in a bid situation, how far do you go to bend backwards for them until you know it's pretty obvious that they are dicking you around? When do you stand your ground, call their bluff, etc.? By the way, we're an
Did
explicit...
Did you say in a bid situation?
Yeah, like in a bid situation. Uh-huh. By the way, we're an explicit podcast, so this is totally okay.
If someone's in a bidding situation, they're going to take the lowest price. Unless you can get to the decision maker and say, listen, we may not be the lowest price, but we are the best value. And so I'm going to ask you for one option in the request for proposal. That if the prices are within 5% of one another, that you get to choose which company you think is best for you and not simply take the lowest price. And that way you may not have to be the lowest in order to win the business. And you can get that put into the RFP many times, especially if it's only 5 or 10%.
If you're not helping shape that bid, you're probably not the one who's gonna win that bid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You wanna say something? Okay. So, where are we now? We got one more?
Got two more.
All right.
Two more, go. All right, here we go. I suck at getting video testimonials. I ask often, but get told no. NDAs are my biggest barrier. There's no question here, just in big letters, it says, help.
You get video testimonials because people are willing to give them. If you can't get them, there's a reason, there's a why you're unwilling to get, they're unwilling to give them to you, and you have to uncover that why, and you have to ask people why, or ask yourself, why am I not getting these?
And if they're scared because it's something, a legal issue, go get a waiver from legal. Like, go talk to your legal department, yeah. Get a waiver, show it to them. Look, this is kosher. We can do this.
We're going to ask you for video testimonials today.
That's right.
There's going to be a camera up at the door, and we're going to give you a book, free book, autographed. So when I'm dead, you can go on eBay, and we'll for a video testimonial. Is anyone here willing to give a testimonial for what they learned today? Yeah, cool, thanks.
Amazing.
Because we earned it. We earned it. And that's the deal.
You earned it, honey.
hard to be humble.
And 41. People find a way to do things for people they like and their friends, you know?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. That's right.
But the kid from Allentown, dude, if you don't give me, I'm kicking you in the groin if you don't give me a... And
you can, yes, you can also
no
threaten
pressure,
them.
Dude.
That's another great way to get a testimony.
You can also threaten.
Right. No pressure.
Is that peanut factory still there where they sell peanuts?
Well, that's a great question. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
All right. Final question. This is a great transition. So out of all of Jeffrey's books, which are your personal favorites and why?
Do you want to go first or me?
Yeah. My personal favorite is The Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude, because not only is it autobiographical, I think it's the foundation for what you're supposed to do in life, which is have a great attitude. It features family things and personal things that I've done, but I grew up in New Jersey. It's a negative way of life. Is anyone here from New Jersey? See what I mean? That's hello.
Yeah.
Up yours is a greeting when you make a cold call in New York City. And it's a little worse than that. It's very guttural. And I decided that I was going to get a positive attitude no matter what. And I did, in New Jersey. So when I come here, it's like the Garden of Eden. Everyone here says, well, hey.
My favorite is, besides the attitude book, is the 21.5 Unbreakable Laws of Selling. It feels like most of Jeffrey's books do feel this way, but for me, when you're reading it, it feels like Jeffrey is sitting there talking to you. And the laws are current and relevant and just amazing. So if you don't own that book, I highly recommend it.
I will share a secret with you. I write like I talk. That's why it's easy to read. It's written conversationally. I use Dragon for Mac. Dragon is a software program that allows you to do voice to text. And I'm good at dictating. So I can, you know, the average book is maybe 40 to 50,000 words, I can do 5,000 words in a day. So that makes me a much more prolific writer. You can do exactly the same thing. In fact, if you have a Mac, the microphone is, the auto type is built right in there. It's part of Siri. I would recommend getting Dragon, even though it costs a couple hundred bucks, it's better than Siri. It's almost 100% now. Pretty cool. You just have to watch it and edit it just a little bit, but it'll learn, you teach it your voice. Even if you speak Southern, it'll pick it up. How many of y'all speak Southern? I love Southern. I mean, it just sounds so believable. We're going to end the podcast on a story. Gabrielle and I flew down.
Very well done, Doug. Very well done. Gabrielle, why are you leaving?
I picked Gabrielle up early from school. We were going to spend the weekend, the Memorial Day weekend?
Mm-hmm.
How was it? At the beach, and we're going to fly down to save a few hours. And so we get to the airport, and the plane's delayed, and then there's mechanical stuff, and then they were so damn slack. They didn't give a shit about people getting on the plane, nothing. Lying to you about where the plane was that didn't come in.
We changed gates
three times. Okay. So we get on the plane, finally, we're going to take off, and the pilot comes on, and he goes, sorry for the delay, but thank you for flying American Eagle. And Gabriel goes, you mean American Vulture. And the plane went nuts.
And she left. All right, so thank you guys for joining our live Sell or Die.
Yep, thank you very much for being here today. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm telling you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.
Sell or Diehards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.